Hey everybody, it's Kate.
And Devin.
Welcome to Med Crimes Break Room Banter.
Episode 1!
We're trying something new.
We're going to see how it goes.
It's juicy.
We've been saying it. We're going to try it.
We finally, I think, have enough content to just put out just a little something so that you guys can see what we really wanted to do, which was collect some stories and just talk about them as if we're just fucking around in the break room.
Like your experiences.
Yes.
Be like all that shit you say on your 30-minute lunch break.
I love it so much. So we hope you guys are well. We're in the basement. It is still cold. Devin, how are you doing?
Hanging in there.
All right. Do you think we should just get right into it?
I mean, sure.
Is there anything else you wanted to say?
How do I put it? I want to just say thank you to our loyal fans.
Yeah, we love you guys.
I am astounded by how much we have grown.
Oh my God, me too.
But with growth comes sometimes things that just punch you in the gut.
Ooh.
And there's been a little bit of that lately.
Uh-huh.
On some reviews.
Oh.
And I go,
Devin.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, there've been a couple scathing ones lately and I've been like, wow.
And I'm just like, you know what, if we're not you for you, like it's okay.
Yeah.
There's a million others that love us.
Yeah, that's so true.
That's my break room banter for today.
The feedback has been overwhelmingly positive,
oh,
and
it's
we
amazing.
Love you guys. And we respect anybody who wants to, you know, give us feedback because it is going to help us grow and change. But some of it, like, oh, the swearing's not for me. Like, well, you can find a new podcast.
Yeah, that's fine. there was one that called me dumb.
Oh, Devin, you're
like,
not
dumb. Oh, my God, I'm so dumb.
No, you're not. Oh, my God, this was a bad day. She texted me. What time was that? She texted
me. I don't remember.
And she was pretty upset about it, but we talked it through. And Devin is, we all know this. It goes without saying. But Devin is obviously not dumb.
I'm a blonde.
No.
I'm not. I look like it.
You're not that kind of blonde. You're not.
I have moments where I'm like, oh, I could have done that better.
But don't we all?
For example,
six times a day.
For example, you know, we've talked about how busy I am with work and stuff right now. And there's time I'm like, I just need to slow the fuck down because mm-hmm. I'm doing some really stupid shit.
Yeah.
My husband just told you this when we got to your house today, but the other day I'm going with my husband. We had two separate cars, but I was dropping the kids off with him.
Woo!
I get out of my car and my car starts moving towards my children's daycare.
I love this so much.
I come to inches to the daycare's porch. When I hop back in that driver's seat, put my foot back on the brake, and put my car in park.
I hope you all just pictured that happen.
My kids are, you know, like, fortunately, they were both in my husband's car.
Thank
like,
the
he
Lord.
Always does drop off in the morning. And so they wanted to go in Daddy's blue truck.
Yeah.
And I was just coming along for the ride, going into work a few minutes late. So it's fine. My kids weren't in the car. However, my husband was getting my said children out of the car when he goes, honey.
It's like it's from a movie.
There's my little white SUV coming closer and closer and closer to the front porch of my said daycare.
I love this
My
story
bill
so
is
much.
Expensive enough for daycare that I didn't need to add, like, you
replacing
know,
a porch.
Building construction to it, auto stuff. So, I'm a blonde.
I mean, you
recap.
Are a blonde, but you're, I mean, we all do, like, silly stuff like that.
That's my break room banter.
I love it.
What do you have?
So, we're going to start telling a couple of these stories that we've gotten in. I've been really excited to read this one. It's called, I'm 88% sure I admitted a vampire to the nursing home.
Is the patient's name Dracula?
No. Okay, so listen, it reads, Hi, ladies. I've been thoroughly enjoying your podcast and listening primarily on my commutes to work. I'm currently working as an NP and have been that for the past 3 years. But as many of us are, I was first an LNA, then an LPN, then an RN, and my healthcare background dates back many years. Therefore, I have absolutely no shortage of crazy stories to tell. The names have been changed to protect myself and those involved. In the early 2010s, In the early 2010s, I was working my first nursing job in a local nursing home. It was a small place with 35 or so beds, and the staff was pretty small and intimate, sort of family-like. A lot of us were really good friends. As you can expect, nursing home nurse to patient ratios on some shifts can be as scary as 20 to 1 or more. I worked a lot of evening and night shifts, which is when the facility was dark and quiet and things could get real creepy real fast.
Uh-oh.
I know. The day in question, I will never forget, as I had one of the most bizarre encounters with a patient that I will ever be able to, that I will never be able to logically explain. I was working on the rehab unit, where most of the patients weren't, quote, long-term residents, but rather patients who were recently hospitalized and needed some subacute care and PT before they were ready to go home. It was early afternoon, and we were all set to get an admission. These admissions, I recall, were kind of a drag because the nurse on duty would need to settle and assess the patient, plus do about 10 hours worth of clerical and paperwork in addition to in addition to being the only nurse for 20 plus residents at a given time. Mm-hmm. Needless to say, it always stressed me out. I received a report from the local hospital. This woman was admitted a few days there. I can't recall exactly for what. Anyhow, it had been determined along the way that she was pretty weak, and plans were made to send her to my nursing home for some rehab before she went home. Let's call the patient Agatha. The nurse from the hospital told me that Agatha was, quote, very nice but eccentric, end quote. Ooh. I hear that a lot, so okay, no biggie. Mm-hmm. About 20 minutes later, Agatha shows up via a wheelchair van. She is pushed through the door still wearing her hospital Johnny and a large embroidered purple coat. I greeted her at the entrance and escorted the ambulance driver to the patient and the patient to her room, which is where I got her settled. I remember her being very sweet, greeting me with a smile. She had very pale skin, pale blue eyes, and some of the palest natural-looking blonde hair I've ever seen. And I was, sorry, I can't read. I was getting her settled, and things were going smoothly. She said some bizarre things, but nothing too jarry, and I didn't think too much of it. This is where things start to get weird. When admitting someone, we do all the nursing stuff, but other staff members have responsibilities as well. A staff member, let's call her Dakota, was there that day assisting with some of the administrative stuff. One of the things that always got done was to take a photograph. Their photograph would be printed on their medication administration record so that if any non-familiar staff were to be administering medications, they would have a photo of the resident to match the records as a means of identification. Patients, of course, have the right to refuse, but most people don't care. I'm in there doing some nursing stuff for the patient when Dakota approaches the patient with our old school Nikon Coolpix handheld digital camera and asked if it would be okay if she took her photo for the medical record. She replied, "Oh, no one can take pictures of me." Dakota replied, "Oh, okay, no problem," and planned to go about her day when she said, "Oh, no, I'm not declining. You're welcome to try if you want. It's just that no one has ever been able to take a picture of me." We asked what she meant by that, and she replied that over the course of her entire life, all 80-something years of it, whomever has tried to take a photograph of her in any way, shape, or form has failed.
It's actually really sad.
Isn't that terrible?
It's really sad.
It's so sad. Either the equipment failed, or it didn't develop, or she would get some weird solar flare covering her face, or something would prevent the picture from coming out. She goes on to tell us that not a single quality photograph of her face has ever existed. I thought to myself, okay, eccentric is an understatement. Thanks a lot, hospital nurse.
Here we go. We got one of those again.
We obviously didn't put much stock into this and brushed it off. Dakota said that if it was okay with her, she'd like to try. "Go ahead," said Agatha. Agatha sits there in her wheelchair with a smile on her face, posing for a photo. Dakota lifts up the camera, points it at Agatha's face, and the screen immediately goes black. The camera had shut off completely on its own. While we both assumed that the batteries had just died, this was jarring, given that what she had just said to us moments before. Dakota shared my sentiment, and we both looked at each other a little wide-eyed. She swiftly went to go grab some fresh batteries, while Agatha watched us with an all-knowing smile, as if to say, no one ever believes me.
Until it happens.
This is so weird. Dakota returns a minute later with batteries, fresh from the package. She inserts them into the camera and hits the on button. Nothing happens.
What the fuck? It's like, is the camera just busted now? Broken?
I must have the batteries in wrong, says, oh, that's exactly what I would have said. Right. Let me check the batteries. I must have the batteries in wrong, Dakota says. She checks. They're not in wrong. She tries the on switch again, this time holding it down. Nothing. Our faithful old school Nikon Coolpix digital camera, which had never once failed anyone in taking a photo, had suddenly and unexpectedly died while attempting to take a photo of our newly admitted Agatha. Dakota and I shared a look of mutual shock and disbelief. Was this ghostly looking lady an actual ghost? A vampire? Whatever she was, she chuckled, obviously taking some pleasure in our horrified expressions.
Oh my god.
After trying for 15 minutes to figure out what was going on with the camera, we gave up for the day. I do recall coming in for a shift after this one and finding a photo of Agatha in the chart. So somehow, someone must have finally succeeded in getting her picture.
Really?
The rest of Agatha's stay was pretty uneventful, and she eventually discharged home. Now, I'm a believer in the supernatural, but I'm pretty scientifically minded. Having that dependable camera fail for the one and only time during that exact moment was by far the weirdest coincidence of my nursing career. And I'll never forget her amused expression as she watched us fail miserably at taking her photo. Ladies, I appreciate you taking the time to read my weird little story. I have tons more, and I can't wait to send them in. Keep on rocking, gals. I hope you're staying safe. Oh my goodness, you didn't include your name, but thank you. That was a great
That is
one.
Phenomenal.
I love it so much.
That is, what a good first story.
Oh man, that was
Dude,
the best.
We see all kinds of that stuff in long-term care.
It's so true.
We have a room right now. They had to do this once before I started working there, and they actually had to sage the room. Because regardless of who they put in there, people kept dying.
Oh my god.
Like
just unexpectedly they would just
unexpectedly,
die?
Of course, natural causes and whatnot, but I mean and it's long-term care, so I mean they're
Most
at any
people,
time, right?
Yeah,
but,
somebody
But it kept happening over and over and over again. And they saged the room and, you know, over the last decade since they've done it, you know, random people have died, but it was no longer like the death room.
Oh wow.
We have one right now.
Oh god.
In my current place we have
a death room?
Right now. And there's somebody not doing great, and eventually we
god,
are
will
going
you move
to
them? Move them for fuck's sake, Devin.
Well, they're on hospice.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
But
oh no.
There's been talk about okay. When this patient moves on to the other life, we need to sage the room again.
Let's do that again.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's horrible. Mm-hmm. I will never forget. I was working as an RN on a cardiac step down unit. So a lot of these patients were like kind of unstable. We did a lot of the ACLS mm-hmm. protocol. We did a lot of CPR on people. I got really good at it, and I really liked that part of the job. So I remember having this lady, I remember the exact room number, I remember who was working that night, it was a night shift, and she had a, I think an NSTEMI or a mild heart attack, but also had bad COPD, and I think she wore oxygen every day, and ended up with like an exacerbation of her COPD where she would get really, really wheezy and really tight, and so we were giving her IV steroids to try to open up her airway. She was on a heparin drip for the NSTEMI, and the plan, I think, was for her to go to the cath lab. And she had rang her bell, and no nurse likes hearing this, but she said to me, oh, I feel like I'm about to die. I feel like I'm going to die. I can't explain it. I can't tell you what hurts or what feels weird, but I feel like I'm about to die. And you know, anybody who's ever heard this before knows that when your patient fucking says this, mm-hmm. you get your shit in gear and you listen to them because yes. that's about to happen. So I was like, oh shit. So, I called, the resident that was on that night. I'm sure we did all the routine stuff, like get an EKG, got labs. Mm-hmm. Her sats did start to drop. We were pushing IV solumedrol for her airway. You know, we eventually like called the rescue team in and an anesthesiologist was there and we were getting ready to intubate and she had a non-rebreather on and her sats were like in the mid 80s and it looked like they were going to have to intubate her. And she started pointing with this shaky, bony-ass finger. I'll never forget it. She was doing this, and she was pointing in the corner. She was pointing in the corner, and she started ripping off her mask. I was like, what is it? What is it? What is it? And she goes, who's that? Who's that? And we're all looking back. We're like, what are you talking about? She goes, that man in the corner in the black hat. Who is that? The man in black. I was like... What, and I mean, there were like five or six of us in the room and a bunch of people running in or out. We all saw this and heard this and we're like, what the fuck?
Did she die?
Yeah, she died. Wow. I'll never forget that. The man in black. The man in the tall black hat in the corner. Mm-hmm. I was like, who are you? Anyway, that was terrifying.
Awful.
Yeah, I know. It was awful.
The shaky finger. I have like a weird supernatural story, but it's not medical related.
Oh, that's okay. We're in the break room over here.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, break room banter here.
We're in the break room.
So for those that, again, believe in the supernatural, I, at one point in time, had a brief like 15-minute thing with a medium.
Oh, I remember hearing about this.
It was, again, about 8, almost 9 years ago.
Oh, my God.
This person actually came to the house and about 10 or so family members got to each have like 15 minutes with her. And a lot of them were coming out. Like my brother was the skeptic and he had to go first. And then he came out like convinced because of certain things that she said. But I go in for my time and she's saying some things to me that are hitting like, okay. That hits on the heart, you know, and I got kind of teary, like, how did you know this? But I also didn't leave the room with anything concrete going, oh, shit, right. Like, this is real. Like, this person is in the room. You've actually talked to this person. However, she had asked during the session if I was worried about a certain family member. And I, you know, a close family member of mine was going to be having a pretty significant medical surgery the next week. And it was a big deal. And of course, she's like, you're a guardian angel saying it's going to be okay. Don't worry. She'll be fine. Blah, blah, blah. Well, we're at the surgery. It's my brother and I and my sister. So it was for my mother. Mm-hmm. And so we're there 8 hours waiting for the surgery. Oh, she goes through. It's all fine. But everything lasted so long that last minute, my brother asked me if I wanted to spend the night. He was getting a hotel across the street, you know, that way we could be there in the morning for mm-hmm. what she needed. So it was a very last minute decision that I said yes. Now, During the session that I had, the woman said to validate that she's going to be all right, look for the white feather. She's like, your guardian angel is going to be sending you a white feather. They're with you. They're with her. Wow. She'll be fine. Mm-hmm. It's going to be in a place that you wouldn't randomly mm-hmm. imagine to be one. It'd be on the floor, on the back of a toilet, in your pocket, somewhere where it's not supposed to be.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So
that's wild.
I go to this hotel across the street. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, it was a suite. Thank you, brother. You know, so I got to have my own room instead of him being, you know, there's one bed for the two of us. That sure. would have been weird. But yeah. Anyway, I take a shower and I get out of the shower. And when I pull the towel off the wall on the back of the toilet is a white feather. And I went
on the back of what the fuck toilet.
Is that? I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I go look and there's a white feather on the back of the effing toilet right where. It would be in one of the examples that she gave me. So I start checking. I'm like, I'm in a hotel. There's down shit somewhere. Like, I'm like, the comforter's got to be down. The bed's got to be down. There's got to be something full of feathers. Mm-hmm. None of it was. I could not find what this feather would belong to. And especially when she said to validate the person that I was worried about, I was in that situation. the feather was where she said it was going to be. And so I start looking around the hotel room and I'm like, where the fuck are you?
So she specifically said to you, it might be on the back of a toilet.
I still have. What? So the nice thing about this was I was still able to say, I still have the recording. Almost a decade later, I still have the 15-minute recording. And that was one of the, she gave three examples. On the floor, the back of a toilet, or in my pocket. And she specifically said a white feather, and that's where it was. And it was in relation to my mother being worried about her, and it was the night of her surgery. Her surgery had just finished. It was a long day, but it was fine. Everything went as expected, and then there's the white feather on the back of the toilet. It took me a long ass time to go to sleep because I kept looking at the walls of the hotel room going, where are you?
Where is it?
Where are you? And there were other several circumstances in that 15-minute session that I had with this woman that over the next 5 years or so, finally all of it came to light. I had so much part of that session where it was like, yeah, it made me emotional, but I wasn't like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
Within 5 years, I can validate every 15 minutes of that conversation.
Wow.
It's pretty specific.
That is wild.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
I so believe in the supernatural.
I have a couple of shorter stories.
Oh, okay.
Tangents are great. So this one is from Amy. I won't say her last name because she didn't tell me that I could say her last name. And it does not have a title, but this is how it reads. I've been listening to your podcast and I have a story for you. A couple years back, my grandmother, parentheses, adoptive father's mother, end parentheses, was in the hospital, basically in a coma, and was in the process of passing away. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. The family had just left the room, and only me and my adoptive mother were left in the room. My adoptive mother turns to me and says, "Should I?" While making a hand gesture of suffocating someone with a hand over their mouth.
What?
I was shocked and just said, "What?" She then proceeded to say, "Oh, okay, it's not at that point yet." She said this more to herself than to me.
What kind of point?
That your adoptive mother was seriously asking you if you think it's at the point where she should suffocate her dying mother-in-law? My adoptive mother was a hospice/home care nurse for years and always seemed elated when one of her patients would pass away. She's been caught stealing multiple times, Dilaudid and other medications from the hospital she's worked at, and was fired from her risk management position for drugs. She was getting huge black trash bags full of medications from the coroner. Oh my God, a la Kristen Rossum.
Jesus.
He got fired and she told on him to get out of being charged herself. Her state license is currently on probation for the 3rd to 4th time. Wow. Ever since this incident at the hospital while my grandmother was passing away, I've thought that maybe this wasn't her first time even considering suffocating someone. She said, quote, "It's not at that point yet."
Holy crap.
Oh, that's so chilling. I've only ever told a couple of friends about this, mainly so she isn't allowed in the room if I am ever incapacitated. Oh my God, Amy, I am horrified. Sorry, Amy. For you. I am horrified and terrified for you. Amy! Fuck! Okay, that was dark, Amy. Thank you so much for sending that in. Kate's mortified. I'm
sitting here going, just watching you. But
This is a whole situation. Whew! That was exhausting. Amy, wow. Thank you for sending that in. Wild.
These are very interesting stories.
Aren't they fascinating? This is why I wanted to do this, man. It's fun.
Hopefully now that you're hearing some of these, you'll start sending in some more so we can have the break room banter part 2.
Okay, this one's super, super short. And I again don't have a name for this one, so I'm just going to read it. Okay, so this one says, I was working as the CNL, which is, I think, clinical nurse leader, right?
Okay, yeah.
On the unit I was working on, and got involved when the patient's nurse came up to me and told me that the patient told her his wife was trying to kill him.
Oh, boy.
We went straight to the doctor and the social worker. The wife kept trying to give the patient soup from home. Ah! We had to watch her so she wouldn't feed him. Oh, my God. That's horrifying. Oh, my God, you guys. These stories. It was a bizarre experience for all of us in our little community hospital, and one I will never forget. It's so sad they weren't able to get him. It's so sad they weren't able to get him the antidote in time. So what? He died?
Oh, God.
She killed him?
With her soup. With her soup.
With soup?
Oh, my God. Some good effing soup.
This is wild. Anyway, keep up the great work.
We will. Thank you. We will. Oh, my God.
You guys have to keep sending us this stuff.
We want to hear it.
For the love of God, we need more. That's all I have right now.
As soon as we get more, we will make another episode.
Yes, 100%. And please let us know what you think about this format. It's kind of a change for us. We'd love to keep it going.
Am I speaking out of turn?
I don't know. Like,
are we releasing these in between?
Yeah, why not?
So, like,
let me just be a little extra. It's that, yeah, that
it's
way
a gift.
It's easier for us because all we have to do is read shit. We don't have to, like, it'll be quick. I love
it. On.
Right on.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for the short and sweet, Devin.
Oh, you're welcome.
This was fun. Stay safe out there.